Welcome to Zichu Daf Sin by Ram Goldar, and today Masechas Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Gimel, the third parak, called Slamim. The Zichu Masechas Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem Alav Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Alav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi reported that he was once walking behind Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, and he found a ring with the figure of a dragon. He met an Akum who was a katan and said nothing, and then met an adult Akum and instructed him to nullify the idol, but he did not. Elazar slapped him and he nullified it. The Gemara proves three laws of Bittul from this incident. Number one, an Akum may nullify any idol, even someone else's. Number two, only one familiar with the details of idolatry may be mevatel an idol. Therefore, the katan could not nullify it. And number three, over to kochabi mevatel balkorcho, an idolater can nullify an idol even when coerced, like this Akum who was forced to nullify the found idol. Rabbi China objected that bittul should not have been necessary since something found in a public area belongs to the finder because the owner despairs of retrieving them, and by despairing should also have nullified it. Abaye answers, need de minam miyayish. Granted that he despaired of retrieving it, miyisurin miyayish, but did he despair of its prohibited status? He assumes that if an Akum finds it, he'll worship it, and if a Jew finds it, he'll sell the valuable ring to an Akum who will worship it. Point number two, a Mishnah states that Rabban Gamliel had forms of various phases of the moon on a tablet on the wall, and would ask Adim to the new moon if they saw it like one shape or another. The Gemara asks that making such shapes is forbidden. Lo sasuniti, you shall not make with me, which teaches, lo sasun kedmu shamshai hamashamshim lefane bemarum, you shall not make images of my servants who serve before me. This prohibits not only those which are possible to physically replicate, such as the prohibition to replicate the heichal, the shulchan, or the menorah, although a different number of lamps is permitted, but it is also prohibited to make images of his servants hamashamshim lefane bemarum, who serve before me on high. This includes not only the four faces on the Kisei HaKavod together, but also making a human face, as well as malachim and the sun, moon, stars, and constellations. How then did Rabban Gamliel make images of the moon? The Gemara initially answers that others, meaning non-Jews, made the images for him. And point number three, the Gemara objects to the previous answer that Rav Yehuda owned a signet ring, and Shmuel told him, Shinana, Same Eine Dedain, sharp one, blind this one's eyes, meaning destroy the image. A Jew may not even own an image, so how did Rav Gamliel own images of the moon? The Gemara says that the prohibition only applies to Chosam Bolet, a protruding signet, Mishum Chajda, and it's because of suspicion that its owner worships it. A Braisa prohibits wearing such a ring, but permits stamping a seal with it because the wax image does not protrude. The Gemara questions this entire suspicion because Shmuel's father and Levi davened in a shul with a statue inside and were unconcerned about suspicion. It answers Rabban Shani, a multitude of people such as in a shul is different and there's no suspicion that the masses worship this statue. Although Rabban Gamliel was an individual, since he was the Nasi, many people were often with him and there's no suspicion of idolatry. Alternatively, his images were made of prakim, segments, and only connected when examining Adim. Finally, the Gemara answers that it's permitted to make images lislamed for instruction. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi reported that he was once walking behind Rabbi Elazar HaKapar and he found a ring with the figure of a dragon. He met an Akum who was a katan and said nothing and then met an adult Akum and instructed him to nullify the idol, but he did not. Elazar slapped him and he nullified it. The Gemara proves three laws of Bittul from this incident. Number one, an Akum may nullify any idol, even someone else's. Number two, only one familiar with the details of idolatry may be mevatel an idol. Therefore, the katan could not nullify it. And number three, over to kochabi mevatel balkorcho, an idolater can nullify an idol even when coerced, like this Akum who was forced to nullify the found idol. Rabbi China objected that bittul should not have been necessary since something found in a public area belongs to the finder because the owner despairs of retrieving them, and by despairing should also have nullified it. Abaye answers, need de minam miyayish. Granted that he despaired of retrieving it, miyisurin miyayish, but did he despair of its prohibited status? He assumes that if an Akum finds it, he'll worship it, and if a Jew finds it, he'll sell the valuable ring to an Akum who will worship it. Point number two, a Mishnah states that Rabban Gamliel had forms of various phases of the moon on a tablet on the wall, and would ask Adim to the new moon if they saw it like one shape or another. The Gemara asks that making such shapes is forbidden. Lo sasuniti, you shall not make with me, which teaches, lo sasun kedmu shamshai hamashamshim lefane bemarum, you shall not make images of my servants who serve before me. This prohibits not only those which are possible to physically replicate, such as the prohibition to replicate the heichal, the shulchan, or the menorah, although a different number of lamps is permitted, but it is also prohibited to make images of his servants, hamishamshim lefanei b'marom, who serve before me on high. This includes not only the four faces on the Kisei HaKavod together, but also making a human face, as well as malachim and the sun, moon, stars, and constellations. How then did Rabbi Gamliel make images of the moon? The Gemara initially answers that others, meaning non-Jews, made the images for him. And point number three, the Gemara objects to the previous answer that Rav Yehuda owned a signet ring, and Shmuel told him, Shinana, same ene dedain, sharp one, blind this one's eyes, meaning destroy the image. A Jew may not even own an image, so how did Rav Gamliel own images of the moon? The Gemara says that the prohibition only applies to chosam boleit, a protruding signet, mishum chajda, and it's because of suspicion that its owner worships it. A brisa prohibits wearing such a ring, but permits stamping a seal with it because the wax image does not protrude. The Gemara questions this entire suspicion because Shmuel's father and Levi davened in a shul with a statue inside and were unconcerned about suspicion. It answers Rabbi Shani, a multitude of people such as in a shul is different and there's no suspicion that the masses worship this statue. Although Rabbi Gamliel was an individual, since he was the Nasi, many people were often with him and there's no suspicion of idolatry. Alternatively, his images were made of prakim, segments, and only connected when examining Adim. Finally, the Gemara answers that it's permitted to make images lislamed for instruction. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard Siman is a magazine. So here goes. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy to be mevatel Avodah Zorah featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images of the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, and a back page advertisement from Ephraim's engraving selling signet rings that are chosim, boa boet. Once again, in slow motion. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine? That must be on Daf Mem Gimel. The popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Dimimavato Avodah Zorah, which reminds us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi reported that he was once walking behind Rabbi Elazar Kapar and he found a ring with the figure of a dragon. He met an Akum who was a katan and said nothing, and then met an adult Akum and instructed him to nullify the idol, but he did not. Boazer slapped him and he nullified it. The Gemara proves three laws of Bittel from this incident. Number one, an Akum may nullify any idol, even someone else's. Number two, only one familiar with the details of idolatry may be bevato an idol, therefore the katan could not nullify it. Number three, an idolater can nullify an idol even when coerced, like this Akum was forced to nullify the found idol. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine, with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Dimimavato Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images of the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, which reminds us, the mission states from Gamliel had forms of various phases of the moon on a tablet on the wall, and would ask witnesses to the new moon if they saw it like one shape or another. The Gemara asks that making such shapes is forbidden, Losasuniti, you shall not make with me, which teaches you shall not make images of my servants who serve before me. So the popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy, Timimavato Avodah Zorah, featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images on the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, and a back page advertisement from Ephraim's engraving selling signet rings that are chosim, v'lo boet, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda owned a signet ring, and Shmuel told him, Shinana, same ene dedain, sharp one, blind this one's eyes, meaning destroy the image. A Jew may not even own an image, so how did Rabbi Gamliel own images of the moon? The Gemara says that the above prohibition only applies to chosam boleit, a protruding signet, mishum chajda, and it's because of suspicion that its owner worships it. A brisa prohibits wearing such a ring, but permits stamping a seal with it because the wax image does not protrude. So once again, the popular Avodah Zorah magazine with a picture on the cover of a rabbi slapping a goy to be mevatel Avodah Zorah featured a story about how a rabbi used a tablet with various images of the moon on it to determine Rosh Chodesh, and a back page advertisement from Ephraim's engraving selling signet rings that are chosim v'lo boleit. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazara. Daf Lamed Tes. So the Siman Daf Lamed Tes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the Siman. So here goes. The Yid who refused to take chiltis on the goy mailman, who uses letter opener, mailman, letter? That must be more on Duff Lamates. The yid who refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, who used his letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis taught that a grain of chiltis of an akum is prohibited to eat. It's a plant with a very sharp flavor. The Gemara explains it's because he cuts it with his knife, which he had previously used to cut non-kosher food, and the food is transferred to the chiltis when it's cut. Although ordinarily the law is nosen tam lefgam mutter, where forbidden food transfers flavor to the detriment of the mixture, it is permitted, but in this case, because of the sharpness of the chiltis, it sweetens the fats on the knife. The havli kadosin tamu shebach, and is thereby like a case of transferring flavor to the mixture's benefit, and is forbidden. So the yid refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, who used his letter opener, which doubled as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the eved of the chaver, who recently passed away, which reminds us, the slave of Rabbi Levi would sell chiltis, and after Rabbi Levi passed away, Rabbi Yochanan was asked if they could continue to purchase it from him. He said, Avdo shel chaver haru kochaver. The slave of a chaver is like a chaver and may be relied upon. In a similar incident, Rav Huna bar Manyumi purchased chelas from the wife of Rav Amram Chasida and was uncertain if he could assume it was legitimate chelas until hearing that Shmuel ruled, Eshes chaver haru kochaver. A chaver's wife is like a chaver. So the yid who refused to take chiltis from the goy mailman, he used his letter opener, which doubled, as a meat knife, and instead bought some from the eved of the chaver, who recently passed away, noticed a Yiddish mailman sitting on a mailbox near a goy milking cows, rendering the milk Chalav Yisrael, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists foods of an Akum which are permitted in consumption, beginning with Chalav Shel Chalavu Ovi Kochavim Yisrael Ra'eyu, milk which an idolater milked and a Yisrael sees him. A brisa clarifies that a Yisrael may sit beside an idolater's herd, and although he cannot see the Akum from his sitting position, and the Akum may milk the animal and bring the milk to the Yisrael, who need not be concerned that the milk is not kosher. Daf Mem. So the Siman Daf Mem relates to Mayim, and we use a pool. So here goes.
At the little fish swimming pool. Pool. That must be around Daf Mem. Mayim. Pool. At the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshish and Truva was served, because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that Tarshish and Truva, a type of small fish, which is minced, is permitted to eat. A Bryce explains, kosher rosh v'shidra nikar, whose head and spine are recognizable as kosher fish. Rav Huna says, this means, achete rosh v'shidra nikar, it's not permitted unless both the head and spine are recognizable. But Rav Nachman says, it's sufficient if either the head or spine is recognizable. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshish and Truva was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, which reminds us, Rav said, Kirbei dogim ubaron e nikachin elamina mumcha. The innards of fish and their eggs may only be purchased from an expert in identifying kosher species. So at the little fish swimming pool, where Tarshish and Truva was served because the fish had recognizable heads and spines, and an expert in identifying kosher species sold fish innards and eggs, there was a statue of a lifeguard with a whistle in his hand that was usher, Bahana, which reminds us, the third parak begins, Kol tzlamim asurim, all human images are asur bahana, mipnei shehen avadim pamakas bashana, because they're worshipped once a year. This is Rabbi Meir's opinion, but the Chamim say, Eino asra el koshi yesh biyado mako on sipor kandur. An image is not prohibited unless it has in its hand a staff, a bird, or a sphere. The items in their hands are intended to depict their power over the world, and such images were more likely worshipped. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel prohibits any image which has anything in its hand. The Rabbanan agree that any image worshipped even once a year is prohibited.
Daf Memov, so the Simran Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, grandma, that must be on Daf Memov. The grandma who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzlamim in her Sveika collection, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Amotzi Shibrei Tzlamim, if one finds broken pieces of images, Hayil Mutarin, they are permitted. Matzah Tavnis Yadu, Tavnis Regel, if he found a figure of a hand or a foot, they are prohibited because such items are worshipped in that form. Shmuel teaches that the Mishnah's first ruling does not only mean to permit broken Tzlamim, which are not known to have been worshipped, and therefore are Sveika, a double Safik, since they may have never been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when broken. So the grandma, who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzvamim in her Sveika collection, pointed to her Goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden. And which reminds us, the Gemara discusses Avodas Kochavim Shenishtabra Me'eleha, an idol which broke on its own, meaning it was not shattered intentionally by a person. Rabbi Yochanan says, Asura Dehalobatla, it's still forbidden because the Akum did not necessarily nullify it, merely because it broke. Reish Lakish says, Murteres Mistama Bituli Mevatla, it's permitted because presumably he nullified it, because he says to himself, it could not even save itself from breaking. Can it save me? So the grandma, who proudly displayed Shibrei Tzvamim in her Sveika collection, pointed to her Goyisha neighbor's idol outside her window, whose head blew off in the wind and was still forbidden, and explained to her friend that it was because Ein Safik Motzmi De Vadai, it was certainly worshipped, and it's only a Safik if it was nullified. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan explains further that broken tzvamim are permitted because they may not have been worshipped, and even if they were, they may have been nullified when they broke. But a broken idol known to have once been worshipped is prohibited because they definitely worshipped it previously. Who says that he nullified it when it broke? Havi safek uvadai. It's thus a case of a safek against a vadai. Ve'ein safek motzmi de vadai. And an uncertainty cannot remove something from its prior certain status. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simran Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The Jewish mobsters, that must be on Daf Mem Beis. The Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol, which reminds us, Reish Lakish, who says an idol which is broken is nullified, was challenged by a brayso, which teaches that an Akum can nullify his own idol or another Akum's idol by damaging it, but a Yisrael cannot nullify an Akum's idol. According to Reish Lakish, the idol should be nullified automatically since it was broken. Abaya answers, Shebchasa, the case is where the Yisrael only struck it and dented it, but no part was broken off. So the Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree fallen leaves, which reminds us, Reish Lakish's challenge from a mission was discussing planting vegetables under an Asherah, a worship tree. Rabbi Yossi says one may not even plant vegetables under it during the winter, although the Asherah shade is harmful because its leaves fall upon them and fertilize them, resulting in a benefit from the forbidden tree. According to Reish Lakish, the leaves should be permitted as an idol which broke on its own. The Gemara answers that this case is different because the main part of the idol, meaning the tree, remains intact and is not nullified, so the leaves also are prohibited. So the Jewish mobster is on a mission to rid the town of Avodah Zorah, flatten the nose of an idol that was standing next to some vegetables fertilized from the nearby Asherah's tree, fallen leaves, and threw all the kaling with sun and moon engravings they had collected into the Yam HaMelech, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one finds utensils, Ba'alehem Tzuras Chama, Tzuras Levana, Tzuras Drakon, and upon them is a figure of the sun, the moon, or a dragon, Yolichem L'Yam HaMelech, he should bring them to the Dead Sea and throw them in. Mishnah Gamliel says, Sha'al Mechubadim Asurin, those figures which are undignified kelim are prohibited, but Sha'al Hamuvuzin Mutarin, those on undignified kelim are permitted because they were presumably not worshipped. The Gemara explains that although they worship many kinds of idols, but regarding forming an image on a keli and worshipping it, only these three designs, the chashive, which are prominent, do they design onto a utensil and worship, but regarding other designs, they make them merely for ornamental purposes. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one.
Which stuff do we discuss if all tzvamim are prohibited or only those with objects in their hands? That's on Daf Mem.
Good. Number two. Which stuff do we have in Machlokas regarding what the din is of an Avodah Zorah that broke on its own? That's on Daf Mem Aleph.
Good. Number three.
Which stuff do one is permitted to use a signet ring to stamp a seal where the wax image does not protrude? That's on Daf Mem Gimel.
Good. Number four.
Which daf do we discuss identifying kosher Taurus and a truth for using the Rosh Vashidra? That's on Daf Mem.
Good. Number five.
Which daf do we discuss how Rabban Gamliel could have images of the moon on a tablet? That's on Daf Mem Gimel.
Good. Number six.
Which daf do we learn that grain of cut chiltis is forbidden because it was cut with the Akum's knife and the chiltis is sharp? That's on Daf Lamites.
Good.
Number seven.
Which stuff do you know that the slave of a chaver and an Ashes chaver are considered like a chaver? That's on Daf Lamites.
Good.
Number eight.
Which stuff do we learn three things about Bito from the incident with Rabbi Ezra Kapar, who forced an Akum Timavavato, a lost idol? That's on Daf Mem Gimel.
Good. Number 9.
Which Daftarim that Shivrei Tzlamim, which were not known to have been worshipped, are mutter because of a Sveik Sveika? That's on Daf? Mem Aleph.
Good. Number 10.
Which Daf to discuss Kalim with the figures of the sun, moon, and dragon on them should be thrown into the Yom HaMelech? That's on Daf? Mem Beis.
Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.